Hello, and welcome to the first ever Chimera Theater podcast.
Yay!
Woohoo!
One well over the hill.
Awesome.
You fanfare. All right. So it's been an exciting season so far, if you've been following. And we're here to just chat about all the exciting things that have been going on and discuss what we think our worth is to the theater community in Kamloops and maybe some discussions into the future. Before we get into all that, why don't we go around and introduce ourselves and our role within the company, and more specifically in the Brothers Grimm.
My name is Brittany McCarthy, and I am the Artistic Associate of Chimera Theater. I also just recently played Dorothea Wilde in The Untold Tales of the Brothers Grimm, and am doing that role again when we go to Fringe in Victoria. Next.
I'm next. I'm Nick Gulich, and I played the character Wilhelm Grimm in The Untold Tales of the Brothers Grimm. And we'll be again playing Wilhelm when we go to Victoria as well. We're really excited for that. And I'm just kind of a creative guy at this point. I don't know. I do stuff.
Really
high. My destiny.
Talking about theater, do we want to just get into the psyche of Nick Gulich?
My destiny is yet to be written. Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, how am I supposed to follow that, Nick?
Your name.
I guess I'm Megan Petrie. And I was Lisette in the Bros Grimm, and I'm just random actress number 3, I suppose. Next.
I'm Andrew Cooper. I'm the artistic producer of Chimera Theater, and in the original stage production at Brothers Grimm, I played Jacob. When we tour it to Victoria, I am becoming the director, and we've recast the role of Jacob by a much better actor. And I wrote it, that too.
Hey guys, just a reminder.
just a reminder, I also wrote the play. Next.
We're Max and...
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for all talking about Victoria. That may or may not have been one of the announcements. My name's Brooke Ballum. I'm an artistic associate for Chimera Theater, also happen to be the multimedia director. And I played Ludwig Grimm in The Untold Tales. Brittany, did you have something you wanted to add to your earlier?
I have other titles, but it's okay.
You're so important over here. We love the title.
Yeah. But we can talk about that another
time. Brittany McCarthy. That's my name.
On your solo cast.
McCarthy at Midnight.
Breaker of Chains.
McCarthy, yeah. Savior of
McCarthy
the
New
at
World.
Midnight. I like that.
First thing I want to do is just go around the circle again, and everyone can sort of say how they got involved with Chimera to begin with.
Well, one night, I was at home, and I got this vibration on the phone, and it was from my friend, and he was like, hey, I want you to take a risk with me, and that's how Andrew and I started dating. Like, it was
really a risk?
That is not the truth. That's not how we started dating. To clarify, I meant to say that we are not dating.
Okay, in all seriousness, Andrew approached myself and Brooke and was like, hey, there's a theater festival in, 10 days? Do you guys want to do a one-act play and do it? So we did it in a basement.
Oh, is that what your relationship is?
We are not dating. Again, I want to clarify. Not dating. That wasn't a euphemism.
Brittany, what did you do in a basement?
We rehearsed a one-act play in a basement.
In multiple basements.
Pronoun game.
Basement, sir.
And we all of a sudden decided that, hey, we had fun, and let's keep doing this. So Andrew was like, let's start a theater company. And Brooke and I were like, okay. And here we are.
It's a good story.
Yeah, thank you.
I like the bit about the basement.
Yeah. There's more at McCarthy at Midnight.
Tune in at Midnight.
Yeah.
Midnight McCarthy.
Yeah.
All right, Nick. How I got involved was the summer before we started rehearsing, of course. I got I got a really cool text message from... No, actually, it was a message.
What's a tweet?
No, it was a social media message from Andrew B. Cooper. And he said, he asked me what I was doing coming fall. And I told him probably, I told him school. But he asked me if I wanted to get involved with the show that he was putting on. And I said, oh, what's the show? And he said, oh, it's the Brothers Grimm show. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know about those. And I've heard of those before. So, yeah, that's kind of how I got jumped on. That's how I jumped on the wagon.
Well, we were hanging out a bunch, and you wrote a play, and then cast me in it. That's pretty much just how that went.
All right,
next.
Great. Well, I wrote a play once. super brief backstory on that. What happened was, I saw a Brothers Grimm play at a theater festival, and I didn't like it, to be totally frank. It was a nice concept, but it was poorly executed. Not the acting or the directing, just the script itself was poorly constructed. It was really just not a good time. I was sitting in the audience being like, wow, I was really excited to see this, and it was a big letdown. So I thought to myself, I could write a better play. Not saying that our play is better, but I tried to write a better play. And then from there, I wanted to stage it. We staged the original production of the script with a student-run club called Trudet at TRU, which Brittany and Brooke were both a part of. Brittany actually directed it for me, and Brooke played originally Ludwig, but one of the actors pulled out, so we actually played Wilhelm, the leading male, which was great, and it was like a 90-minute one act, which is a bit long for a one act, but it was. And then after that, there was a lot of other stories that I wanted to insert into the script, and I was finishing school, so once I graduated, I kind of had the typical what's next moment in my career as a theater artist, and I decided I wanted to produce my own work. So I started contacting all these really amazing actors that I know who went to TRU with me and from the community, and we decided to put on a play. And then the story that Brittany told about the one-day script that toured to Nelson, that happened in August of last year. From there, we just decided to start a company together, Brooke, Brittany, and I, and then we threw on a play called The Untold Tales of the Brothers Grimm. And it was a huge success. It was a huge success, especially for our company being so small in its first year. We had a lot more people than we thought come out. We got a pretty solid review from the local newspaper. It was great. I was really, really happy with how everything turned out. And we learned a ton from it on how to enter into next year. Without taking too much time, over to you, Brooke.
Well, I got involved. I was standing in line at last year's, I think it was Last of the Dragons, Project X. Yeah, we were standing in line. And I get a notification on my phone. I also got a social media message from Andrew Cooper saying, hey, don't do something crazy. And then it was this thing about the Nelson Theater Festival. I think the idea for a theater company had kind of always been there, or just a collection of artistic people even. But it's tough, especially in school, to get people to commit because people have so many other different commitments and people aren't sure if this is something that they want to spend all their time on or if it's just something they want that they're considering a hobby. But I think the fact that both Brittany and I were so willing to jump in and do this kind of thing and drive 6 hours in one day and then drive home.
Oh, God.
And to get home by 4 a.m.
It
so
was
that
so
Andrew late. Could go to work.
Yeah.
Wow.
We left at like 10 o'clock at night.
And I had to work the next morning.
Art, man.
Yeah.
Dedication.
And then we got lost. You ended up in the trail.
I forgot that we got lost.
We went in. Almost an hour out of the way.
You should talk about that experience a little bit.
Which I assumed turned that was just straight for like 400 kilometers, and I was going, and then We went into a town that I didn't recognize, and I was like...
We went very close to the U.S. border, and that's when I realized, like, we are not on the same road that we went to.
We ended up at the end of the highway.
No. Like, there was nowhere to go. We had to turn around and take, like, a detour.
Cooper looked at his phone, and he was like, oh my god.
We're off course.
Like, really badly.
And I worked in the morning.
Did you make it to work okay?
I did.
Oh, yeah, like, I dropped off at, like, 4, but...
Yeah. That was a good time. It was not a good time.
I mean, if we're going to talk about Nelson, let's just start right at the beginning. With, we had to do the whole drive in one day because, again... Someone
oh yeah, I
to bookend it. He worked until about
they picked me up from the studio I was teaching at, so I had to bring all of my things to work that day, and they just picked me up right from there,
yeah.
And we drove straight there and got there because of like, may or may not have been speeding. We got there right when the opening ceremonies were already happening, but they weren't like well underway.
Okay, so we left at 2. The opening ceremonies were at 8, and Kamloops to Nelson's. Widely known as a 6-hour-ish drive.
My phone would say we weren't going to make it. But it was like 9 o'clock.
If anyone knows, it's Leadfoot over here.
Leadfoot McCarthy.
McCarthy at midnight. Yeah.
Then, yeah, that's not shocking that we made it. We made it as the opening ceremonies were happening because there were, I think, 4 or 5 different shows, and they each did a little snippet of their show at the opening ceremony, kind of a... Like a 60 seconds of fame thing.
Yeah,
thing,
preview.
Chill
like,
away.
Yeah.
Like the preview. For
like,
all
the TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got there as the first person was going. And
yeah.
Fourth.
Yeah, we
oh,
had
wow.
like maybe 5 minutes or so to
you
like,
just
pee,
rolled into town.
And
oh, I remember
okay.
we all really need to pee. That was the thing
oh,
that was clear in my mind. Because we had been driving
hours.
Without
we didn't
stopping.
Stop.
You had to get there, like, you can't just stop.
Yeah. But we did the little preview thing. Brooke and Brittany did a little snippet, a scene from the play that we had selected.
Yeah.
And the play had this kind of ambiguous thing that was off stage that was, like, foreloaning and fearful. And then one of the characters goes, like, oh, maybe it was just a raccoon. And for some reason, everyone in Nelson latched on to this very small part of the play, and they're all like, what happens with the raccoon? Like,
is
the
raccoon,
is it, was it a raccoon? I don't know. And they're all asking us one. We're like, man, the raccoon is such a small part of this play. Like,
it never gets
that
was
the
that
only
more
relevant.
The only
but, yeah, it was super irrelevant. Everyone jumped on it. We're like, well, now we have to make it a big deal.
Now we have to write a raccoon play for Nelson next time.
Totally.
From the raccoon's perspective one
part,
day.
Part two there.
Just write the play of the raccoon.
Oh, let's not go to Mississippi and do that. We'll have a very different clientele.
Yeah, Nelson was a lot of fun. I feel, since you've got Brooke and Brittany's side of the story, that I should also relay my beginning, the genesis of this story as well. Brooke mentioned that he was in line to come see an X-Fest show. It was a show that I was acting in, and one of the actors that I was going on stage with, her name was Randy. She had got a slot in the Nelson Outskirts Festival, but she had to drop out because one of her friends couldn't make the drive. They're from Vancouver all the way to Nelson. So she's like, well, there's an extra slot, and if you email them, they'll probably let you in. So I did, and they're like, yeah, it's in 10 days. Come on out. So I had already kind of committed to it, and I was like, okay, I need 2 actors who are super committed who will be able to just rehearse this in, like, a fortnight and just do it.
Yep.
So I contacted them while I was backstage, and he was in line, Brooke was in line to come see the show, and it was just like the most not-so-but-so crazy idea that we ever had, and it worked.
I believe my exact response to that message was, hell yes.
Yeah.
Pardon my language.
Enthusiasm. It was a lot of fun, and we learned so much, and we kind of came out... Like, we didn't come out making a lot of money, but we had a lot of fun, and we learned a lot, which we're going to apply to going to Fringe this year. Everyone in this room, everyone on this podcast is coming to Fringe with us, and I'm so glad that we toured last year, because we learned, like, how you gotta get the name out, get people coming to the show, do the handbilling.
Opening ceremonies.
Yeah.
We saw one person do that, and she was the one who probably made... quite a bit off of her.
Yeah, she's a regular Fringer.
Yeah,
there's a woman named Devin there who goes to a lot of different Fringes.
Actually,
and she's just a... Oh, yeah, and she was actually from Kamloops.
Yeah.
Cool.
She does a lot of Fringing, so she knows, like, handbills. She knows how to promote her show, and we were so new to it, and we're like, how did she get so many people to her show? Her show was great. We saw it. So we're going to try to take a leak out of her
book. Like 5 minutes before our show.
Yeah, we had to run from her show, like, on foot all the way to our venue and just huff and puff. Are we on time? Oh, thank God.
Like, the middle of her curtain call, she's like, they need to go.
Yeah, she even said that she kind of sped up the end of her show so that we could make it 2 hours. But she was even like, I was worried I wasn't going to make it. But then I saw you guys were here, so I'm like, wow, I had a good shot of making it.
Yeah, they're here. One more crazy story from Melton before we... this crazy digression goes off. My most fond memory of Nelson was the very first night after the opening ceremony. We get our keys for the billet that we're staying at, and we arrive at this billet, and it's a freaking mansion. It was so big, and apparently we had the whole house to ourselves. We were super excited, and we got the key to the box that's supposed to open the key to the door. Like, there was one of those
2 degrees of security.
Yeah, new, like, realtor keys. So we open that box, and there's no house key in it. So we're like, oh, man. So we try and go around to all the different doors and, like, try and punch in codes, and we're texting this person. And then this crazy thunderstorm rolls in. Like, it was directly over our heads. And, like, it was the loudest thunder I've ever heard. Like, and we're like, we're out in the rain, like we're in a city we don't know, all of our stuff's in our car, and we don't have keys to get into this building
like
that they promised
every,
us.
Every, like, horror movie.
Yeah, it was...
And we didn't have... I don't think we had Sam's number, so you were emailing them.
Oh, that... Yeah, that's totally
and
right.
And then
there was a
guy across the street who was like, kids better get inside, and we were like, we were trying.
The creep... He always, like, a creepy old guy with a raincoat.
The creepy old guy across the street. There was also a creepy sign across the street that said, no exit.
The no exit sign.
Was like, oh, no.
And what ended up happening
was... It's a horror movie.
What ended up happening was there were actually two more people staying in the billet who went there before us because they didn't just show up exactly when they needed to be like we did, and they got the key and then they went out for drinks. So I eventually got a hold of Sam via email, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, they're right here with us with the key. We'll send them over. And we're like, oh, yay.
Great.
But they were only there for the first night because they were only doing one show. And then after that, we had this beautiful, huge mansion all to ourselves.
Well, apparently the,
so
the room that you stayed in wasn't supposed to be open to us.
Yeah, which the people who were staying there opened it. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a whole other fiasco.
Like I said, the doorknob was on backwards.
That was the weirdest part.
Like, you can lock it, but I would have been able to pull it open.
Yeah,
like,
let's not go into that.
It doesn't matter. I can just pull this open.
Yeah.
So they, in Nelson, do they do that festival every year, every summer? Or?
It's just the first time they've done it.
I emailed the coordinator to be like, we want to bring another show, tell us the dates. She never got back to us, and I think it's not happening again.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it is, and
it's
just never
really happened. Her and her boyfriend put it all together.
Which was very impressive. They basically put together a mini fringe, just the two of them. But we're going to Victoria Fringe this year instead.
Right.
If there's any
go to Victoria Fringe. Everyone who's listening. Anyone who's listening.
Anyone who's listening is appropriate.
Anybody out there?
Yeah, Nelson is great because there's nothing harder than trying to advertise your show to people who don't know you. I feel like why we were successful with Grimm is because we had friends and family, we had
a lot of connections.
But when you're in a place like Nelson, we were like, we have no idea who anyone is.
Yeah.
So, well, that's why it's so important, like, to make connections. And I think the first major connection we made was with the coordinator of that festival. And she's like, yeah, my boyfriend's a writer. He writes for, like, the papers and...
Mm-hmm.
The papers, sorry. Probably the newspaper in town. I don't know that.
Yeah. We don't know how many papers there were.
Yeah.
He had his own blog, though, and he wrote a cool review for us.
Which was awesome.
That's cool.
We use our website.
Yeah, that was the beginning of this company. And
we performed it in a church.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be a church. I think on that trip, Mr. Cooper asked us again, like, hey, so I'm doing this thing at Tronchio Farms, the tunnel tours, and they're doing tours there and they need actors, and they haven't really had anyone apply. So he asked Brittany and I to apply, and then that became our second show of the season. So
that's how that came about.
Yeah. The tunnel tours, I think we were just expecting us to just another paycheck for us, really. It was an sort of an acting job. Sort of.
It was an opportunity.
Yeah, it was an opportunity to sort of go along with that. Work with a lot more improv, and I think we're used to our second show, like a Chimera production.
Well,
Andrew,
here's the story, folks. What happened was, in August, I saw a post on the social medias, on the Facebook.
Oh my god,
yeah, and what happened was, they were looking for actors, and no one applied but me and one other person. And they're like, well, we need more. Do you know any more actors? And I was like,
Do I
know
any? Yeah.
So, we were hired through Tom Keel from Fresh, who works... who operates Trunk Heel, and they ran the tunnel tours, and it's their second season of doing it last year. And then what happened was that Tim and Annette, who are the two people who operate the tunnel tours, and the rest of...
Caretakers of Trunk Heel Farm.
Yeah, they run Trunk Heel Farm Fresh. They liked the work that we were doing, so they wanted us to kind of co-pro it so that we can put in our theater expertise, because we're all trying to tier you. So we helped tweak the script, we helped with the lighting and the sound stuff, and all the acting and improv and direction stuff. And then at the end of the season, they said that they enjoyed it so much that they wanted to work with us again. So this season, we've already been in the works since May. We've been working on the 2015 Trunk Heel Tunnel Tours for like 2 months already. So we're well underway, and it's coming up in the fall. So it was just like this weird string of happenstances that I just applied for this thing that I was like, oh yeah, it's kind of an acting job and I'm gonna pay for it. And it turned into a really big part of Chimera's season last year and a very big part of Chimera's season's upcoming year. It's actually gonna be our opening show of the season this year, and it's a co-pro, so it's not a production we're doing by ourselves. It's with Trunk Heel Farm.
I guess it's also kind of fair to say that like it's the first recurring show or opportunity that Chimera has had.
I think that's so what I want. Right?
Totally
want it to be something that we do maybe for years to come.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be every year and we'll just keep doing it.
Because this will be the second one in
that
a row.
We've done it and they've done it 1 year before that. So this is year three for them. It's year two with Chimera.
That's right.
I don't want to derail us too far, but it's strange to me that you said it's a paying job and only two people apply. It's so weird. Like, with paying jobs, you get no applicants. I don't know if we can keep this in the podcast.
Yeah, why not? Let's talk about it. I think it's a serious thing. not everywhere, but
people
in
for volunteer positions. Especially in Kamloops. Especially, again, this is where we might not be able to keep it in.
Yeah.
Around TRU. Is that people will do the volunteer stuff, like the casualty simulations and like the police simulations and... Joey and Julie, but I guess that was an honor.
Yeah, they pay a little bit with that. I think what it comes down to, is that Chimera is finding it hard to find actors to pay, which I think is bizarre because when I was a student, a paid acting gig was like the best thing in the world. Like being paid to do what I love is so amazing. We're just finding it hard to find a lot of people who want to work with us. It might be because we're a young emerging company, but with the Trunk Heel thing, Trunk Heel is established. Trunk Heel is a very well-known part of Kamloops, and the tunnel tours have been around. This is their third season, so we're trying to get it out. Because paying actors is one of the big parts of our company. Like, it's part of our mandate to support emerging artists in this community, so it's what we want to do. And it's just, it's tough. So we're hoping to connect more with the acting students and the acting people who are not students, I guess the actors in the community, connect more with them so that we can give them work and pay them to act.
And every show we've done, we've been able to pay
everyone. Which
even when we went to Nelson, I think we all got like $20.
But
we paid for my gas, so we
had a profit. Exactly, income expenses.
We paid for that, and then we paid for the billet with the monthly. We got paid back for the billet.
Like every production we've done, we've been able to pay something.
And what's been happening is we've been able to pay more every time. For Brothers Grimm last year, it was just on an honorarium. For Brothers Grimm at the Fringe, we're paying a bigger honorarium. So I think
what we make in
in gate. Yeah, exactly. Like, we're going to be making more money and paying the actors more, so eventually we might be able to pay, like, real wages. We're not there yet. We're still a small company, but we are paying and supporting the actors. We're not just like, oh, come act for us for free, which happens a lot, and I feel like a lot of independent theater companies, not to rail on anyone else, but take advantage of emerging artists who think that they need to work for free to improve their resume, which I disagree with.
You just become known as a person who will work for free.
Yeah, and we don't want that. We want to be paying people because they're trained. They have a university level of education, and we don't want them to just throw that away and just work for anyone for free, right?
Something.
Yeah, like all those listen, actors, you're worth it.
And like Project X is great for that, but it only happens in the summertime. And Chimera is a whole season where we have opportunities all the time.
And even in the summertime, like not just in the summertime, it's more that this is actually why Chimera got created at the end in the beginning, is that Project X has grown so much and like raised their game so they're able to hire like professional talent from Vancouver and from in town. There's not a lot of equity people in town anymore.
Yeah, but there's some, and a lot of them work with
Project X. So there's just less and less spots for local talent, and there was nowhere for them to go, and we're trying to change all that.
So I'm excited to see like something like the gap being bridged from like the huge, you know, high value productions, you know, ultra professional productions, and then you know just at the point where it's like emerging, right? The emerging artists, where it's just, you know, starting to adjust to entry level professional. I guess is the word I would use to describe it. To bridge that gap, right?
It's a way to develop what kind of artist you want to be. Like if you want to be the person who writes a one-person show and takes it to fringes, we can help you with that and get you experience if we're going to a fringe festival. You can see things. If you want to be a person who gets jobs with, you know, professional theater companies, like regional theater companies like WCT, then we can hopefully help you with that by getting some major shows on your resume and some experience and help you. I mean, it's really you get out of it what you put into it.
It's a big part of the company.
Yeah.
And I think that goes back to the people who only apply for volunteer stuff because they feel if they're not getting paid, they don't have to care.
Yeah. Well, Megan, I'd love to hear from you because you're coming out with your last year at the university and you're emerging in the professional world as an actor and you're working with Chimera. Like, how is that helping you? Or hindering you or changing what you're doing with your long-term career goals or whatever?
I definitely feel like it is a stepping stone towards bigger and better things.
Well, you guys are Project X here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd like to think the timing of that kind of helped because, well, or did they, you know, the cast went up before we performed, didn't they?
Yeah, but we had the audition workshop.
But they saw the audition workshop.
Well, and the stage combat workshop.
I'm excited to see some more workshops too.
Yeah.
And is that something that you guys want to talk about in the coming seasons, or what's, you know?
Yeah, let's not spoil what they are because we have a really cool lineup. But what happened this past year was we wanted to provide training for actors. We're both in school and out of school. So we got a bunch of professionals in town who have a lot of experience, and we got them to teach people expertise. So we did a puppet workshop. We did a stage combat workshop with someone who's certified through Fight Directors Canada. We did an audition workshop with two artistic producers and an equity actor in town. And then we did a Shakespeare workshop with Christopher Weddle, who is a well-known Shakespeare expert. He was one of the founders of Art of the Beach. So we had four really great workshops, and I think that we helped a lot of these emerging artists out because we had this audition workshop that's like, hey, this is how you should audition properly. And then we had a stage combat workshop with the fight director who's working with Project X right now. And both of those things happened prior to this, the auditions for Pro X. And I think that because they saw a lot of these local people, they were able to cast a lot more local people this year, which is amazing. That's exactly what we want to be doing.
is providing more training and getting more exposure for the actors so that they can work on higher professional, well-paying jobs.
This is what I was super stoked about. I did the audition workshop with Chimera. What I was super stoked about that one is that I saw a lot of familiar faces. I saw a lot of people that I knew, and the people who are the teachers of the workshop who were presenting the workshop were I happen to know as well. But some of the people who showed up to do the workshop to attend it, I had never met before, and it was awesome. It was an awesome networking event, even just at its most base level, right? It was an awesome chance to meet a lot of people and to see what other kind of faces and talent there are in this town, which is really cool, and I'm super stoked about that.
Yeah. And it shows that social media works, though, because it's one thing to just invite all your friends, and those are the familiar faces where a lot of TRU students or alumni of TRU, but there were a couple people there that weren't a part of like that group, and so it was nice to see that it's getting around.
Mm-hmm. We're starting to expand. People are starting to know who Chimera is and where we fit in the theater community in Kamloops.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. That's why we're doing podcasts. So people can know about us.
Expanding the media.
Yeah. We're young people, right? We're with the technology. So dad over here.
We're only musing artists. I am not a dad. Let that be known. We're all
Andrew,
you're
the worst
Mormon ever. We all grew up in a very like tech savvy world. Like when we were kids, we all grew up with all these technologies, and we're all young emerging artists, and we want to expand what we're doing.
Especially in Kamloops, there's theater companies, and then there's people that do things online. And I don't know that there's one. I don't know that I'd just call us a theater company anymore. We're almost an entertainment company now.
Yeah, it's a multi-production, maybe?
Production company.
We'll have a meeting. We'll have to accept that, run it by the board.
the official title.
Yeah.
The board.
Change all the Chimera Productions.
Change all the banners and posters.
But there really isn't anything like what we're trying to become in Kamloops. So in that way too, I think we're filling in our own niche. Well, hopefully people move on.
Yeah. One of the cool things that Chimera was directly involved with very recently that, like Brooke was saying, is not just theater related, is that we did a short film. We were talking about that before we started recording, but everyone in this room was involved in this short film happening, and it was just a 5-minute film that we're going to submit to a film festival. But one thing that isn't available in town a lot, or I was going to say at all, but it is just not a lot, is film acting.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of film acting in Kamloops. I mean, Vancouver's 4 hours away, and it's like the hub in the west, especially in Western Canada.
Yeah.
For film, but Kamloops, not a ton of film
interior stuff.
There's stuff filmed here.
Yeah, but a lot of locations are used, but it's not like they're pulling local actors.
They're pulling local people to be extras, but being an extra is a lot like being an artist and doing things for free. You get known as being an extra.
Yes, a lot like herding cattle. I've done it once. I enjoyed it, I did, but it was not acting. Like, being an extra was not acting. You stand somewhere, they tell you where to go, they feed you, which is lovely. You sit in the cold for 10 hours, and it's...
One bonus is Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, and the film I got to meet Anthony Hopkins. The film that I was an extra in. So that was basically worth it.
I remember talking about that at the concert. I never heard of that.
I was in an extra that was filmed in a town called Lumby, which is just outside of Vernon, and I got to meet and talk with Anthony Hopkins, which was super cool.
What's he like?
He was super down to earth and like really cool.
I'm impressed you even know who that is.
Yeah, here's my funny story about Anthony Hopkins. So we were filming in this motor inn. What are they called? Motel. This motel that had like a meth lab in it, and there's this big explosion gonna happen, and Anthony Hopkins' character.
Oh, in the movie.
Sorry, in the movie, Anthony Hopkins' character just comes down.
What?
Yeah, he like takes names and like beats up a bunch of people. He doesn't beat them up, but anyways, he's the good guy in this movie. And we get to the motel and we're finally filming with the extras after I've been waiting here for 6 hours. And then we see Anthony Hopkins just open a door in the motel and like step out and look around. And he just asks one of us like, "Hey, are we filming yet?" And they're like, "Yeah, we're about to start the scene with the extras." And this 18-year-old was like starstruck, like I could see it in his eyes. He's like, "Oh well, I was just taking a nap in there. I guess I should probably come out now." And he just steps out and like, walks down. And he like starts looking for the director, and I was just like, "You're a cool dude." He just seemed like, and afterwards he shook everyone's hands. All the extras who were like swarming him, he like shook their hands and he talked to us, and he just seemed like a cool guy.
I feel like most of those people are. It's the media that kind of makes them to be bigger than life, and that's their job. And
oh, totally.
They do it well.
They're a product,
like
basically.
They're people.
Yeah, but really.
They're people with personalities.
They weren't always that way.
Yeah.
I get it.
Anyways.
So, Anthony Hopkins, we gave you a shout out to.
Yeah,
to return the favor.
Shout out to Anthony Hopkins.
Conan, Seth Meyers, James Corden, these people.
So basically, we like film stuff too, and we want to give people the opportunity to expand their acting horizons by acting in film as well as theater, and maybe audio stuff like podcasts and radio plays or whatever else we get up to.
Multimedia.
We'll see in the future. Maybe some announcements.
Yeah.
Yeah, there might be some coming your way when we actually have mics and aren't underwater, everybody.
This broadcast.
Nothing's better for your bro than H2O.
Super. All right, what's next on our agenda?
It's really hot in here.
Let it be known.
I think we covered the show we were rehearsing.
Well, it all started, I believe, in September.
The actual rehearsal started mid-October.
No, we did the photo shoot.
Oh yeah,
the photo shoot and the Kickstarter video.
Oh yeah, we even did a Kickstarter. I forgot.
It was really successful.
The video, sort of successful. The blooper video, very successful.
Yeah, watch that blooper video, guys. Go to our YouTube page. Shout out YouTube.com/Chimera Theater. I have no idea what the URLs are. YouTube.com/Chimera Theater.
We're not popular enough to get Chimera Theater as our URL. It's like XFJ6OE.
Yeah.
Find
us on Facebook. You can do it. You're tech savvy like we are. You're cool and hip.
We'll make sure
you
to be linked.
It's also on our website.
Yeah.
That video.
Uh-huh.
But I like the different outtakes in that video, where with you it was take one, I'm going to try and do this. If I mess up a word, take two. Okay.
Yeah.
With Brittany.
Brittany had a fun time filming that, let me tell you.
God.
Brittany sort of had structure to hers too, but there was a lot of time between take one and take two to be like, oh, God.
I had more screen time in the blooper video than I think they had like 10 seconds in the actual Kickstarter video of me speaking somewhat intelligently. It was awful. And then the bloopers. Yeah, out of like a 3-minute video, I say two things,
There's 10 seconds of what you need.
And then, the blooper video was just a lot of cursing, giggling, and more cursing. It was bad.
A lot of fun.
Yep.
And with the Kickstarter, we raised twice as much as our goal was, which is good.
Like, we met our goal with, like, day two. Like, it was so quick. I don't think it was that quick.
It wasn't. But. It was like halfway, but still, doubled it.
Oh,
doubled that goal. One of the reasons why our first project was so successful.
Love you, Kamloops.
And the one guy from the States.
I thought that was
TJ's friend.
Oh, yeah. But there was another random. Oh, okay. There's two other random people from the States we didn't know.
Awesome, though.
Really cool.
Mm-hmm. I like how we thought Josh's was a...
I was like, what's some sort of company? What is this?
I think it was his dad's company, maybe.
It's the email address they used.
It was like Peak Solutions Consulting or something.
And I was like, wow, this is
we're moving up in the world, guys.
And the email address was Josh Sunderman's TOU. Your email address was like, ha, we caught you. Don't think you got away with that, Josh Sunderman. We know
that. He's pointing a fly swatter at you, Josh. I just can't see that.
Great. Yeah, the funny thing about that is that we, like they said, we were rehearsing for Brothers Grimm in October, but we didn't end Tunnel Tours until November, so we were doing two shows at once. Which was not only crazy, but common, because we also did the Blind Murder Mystery with BCLA during both Grimm rehearsals and Tunnel Tours, and then that.
I was also doing a show for True Dad at the same time. So.
Boom, four shows, baby. four shows over here. So you become busy when you do this kind of things.
Yeah.
And get paid for
most of
them. Yeah.
And we were making money for Chimera with all these projects, which was great.
Yeah.
One of the things that happened, the reason why we were saying, oh, let's just gloss over 7 months of rehearsal. 7 months is not our common rehearsal scheme.
Although we needed it with a long show.
We were working between all of our schedules, we could only meet once a week, which is really unfortunate. But we were originally supposed to perform in January, and we started in October. So a few months part-time makes sense. Our venue fell through for a huge number of reasons and crazy accidents and all kind of stuff. So we actually had to switch our venue kind of last minute, and because the venue wasn't available in January, we couldn't perform until April. So we had to add quite a few months on to our already kind of lengthy rehearsal process. So it took a long time to get that show up.
We needed that time to sharpen it up. Not to say that we would have given people a subpar product, but I don't know that we would have been where we needed to be by January.
I was thankful for it. I think by the time April came, I feel like we were where we needed to be. The show was really good by the time we performed it. Wasn't perfect.
7 months, I think we hit our stride when we needed to.
Yeah.
We know what worked really well. We know what wasn't as good, but we're able to reflect on that, and that extra time gave us some time to sharpen it up and turn
one rehearsal a week.
Yeah.
We might not do that again.
It's very hard to rehearse once a week.
Also really hard to rehearse more than.
Yeah, it's hard to schedule more than once a week, but rehearsing once a week, there's just so much time between, and we all have lives and school or work or whatever. So by the time you get back on the next week, you're like, wow, I don't remember everything we did, and it's been so long since I've done my lines, and it's just a lot of time, right?
Well, and you have to put effort in.
Yeah. That's what it was. It came down to self-discipline. You had to do it on your own time all the time, because we only had 5 hours a week.
I'm a guy that can get his lines in mind pretty easily, and I had to bust my ass to get them, because there's so much time between you doing so many other things that it just leaves.
Well, there are sometimes you would have worked Act 1 and then 3 weeks, and you forget everything.
3 weeks is 3 rehearsals, that's like.
Yeah, that's
it's
it.
Not a lot of rehearsals for a lot of time.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I feel like 4 days is a long time between working on things. But I can't imagine going 3 weeks.
I don't know. I kind of feel like 12 hours is a long time. What? Where am I supposed to be right now?
I know.
Yeah.
What is an accent?
So it was a big learning experience between the scheduling and the venues and the script being cut late, all kinds of crazy stuff happening.
Much like the venue changed the script cut, although unfortunate, was something that needed to happen.
Yeah, and it improved the show greatly. What happened?
We made it work.
Yeah, our show was too long. And we were finding we're trying to quicken up the pace. It wasn't happening, so we just cut one entire fairy tale. And made the show exactly how much we wanted it to be. It was still a great show. Audience didn't know what they were missing. It was just hard to adapt during tech.
It wasn't that the story wasn't good or didn't push the plot forward. It was just that there weren't as many plot points wrapped up in that story.
Yeah.
Where others were important to the outside story of the Grimms and the Wilds and the Wraith. Whereas that one, it was probably the most doable thing we could have done.
Yeah, and it really improved it. We didn't want people to be sitting there for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, plus with the information, if we needed to cut it down, we just should not have waited it until 4 days before.
But we didn't realize until we got into the space and started doing full runs with the tech element that it was too long. So it was a, it was a weird balance, right?
Yeah. And it was, I mean, speaking of tech elements, it was, we didn't know what, we wanted to know what we could do, so we tried to do everything.
Tech-wise. It was a big show. Especially
we had our
first show.
We had our prop guy make a boat.
An ambitious
show. We just made a boat.
Yeah. Yep. Which was very
cool.
Very cool. It was just, it was a big reach.
A good wow factor.
Yeah.
Definitely, I mean,
I think now that we've done that, now that we've set that standard, we can disappoint people.
No. Now we're going to next time we need to make a plane. It's got to fly. Don't, please don't expect that, okay?
Joel's already working on
it. We did a lot of really cool
things. That he could.
Yeah.
I feel like he could make a play.
Totally.
You want to be able to.
Yeah. We had a lot of cool elements of the show because what we wanted to show Kamloops that we were doing cool stuff and that we could throw a boat and have stilts and like masks and all kinds of crazy cool things. Yeah, it was a
show.
It was a spectacle show.
A product.
It's a very multifaceted production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
And obviously people were talking about it because every night we had consistent, like it was almost like the same amount of people showed up every night, which I was worried that our opening would be big and then it would just kind of dwindle down. But it, even our matinee was more
really good turnout.
In a capacity, like in a theater with a capacity of about 100 people, we had between 20 and 50, I think, every night.
We hit about, it was like between 40 and 50 every night. Yeah.
And then I think our lowest was 20, 22.
Yeah,
like but even like
we were getting around 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which were good numbers because we ended up getting our play to over 200 people, which for our very first show, I think was pretty impressive.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's not like we're selling to thousands, but for
and
a new
company. It only ran 1 week, so.
Yeah.
But if it had that another week, I think it might have, been like good as we might have had like a more, a higher consistent number of people as well.
Yeah, because what we
probably only had,
had a review come out after we closed.
Yeah,
which was unfortunate because we only ran a week, so we got a great review, but we couldn't utilize it, which maybe next year we'll run 2 weekends, right?
Yeah.
Actually, that's something I wanted to ask: is how did people feel about that review? Because
that's a great
talk. It was a good review. It was a very positive review, but it's kind of different for Kamloops. There were some criticisms of it, which I love. We're all for.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for Kamloops is such a positive, supportive place. There's not usually published criticisms of art, so I just wanted to know everyone's feelings about that.
I thought it was fair. That was good. Good, fair, like it wasn't embellishing. Yeah, it wasn't embellishing anything that shouldn't have been embellished, or it wasn't, downplaying anything that, we thought was better than it was talked about. But I thought it was fair. It was good.
He did
was
like
solid.
The sandwich analogy where it was like, he gave you a really, like, you opened it up nicely.
Yeah.
He gave his criticism, but then he didn't end up being like, so you guys missed the show. Like, he was like, Chimera is a name that you are going to wanna keep an eye out for.
That was very diplomatic.
Yeah.
He was very
positive. He was fair, he was honest, and I think if you get offended by that, then
that's true.
Because
people are never
even if you do an amazing performance, there's still gonna be someone out there that doesn't agree.
That's just life.
We just put ourselves out there.
Yeah, especially with acting because like everyone's a critic when they go to the theater. The same thing with film. Like you don't have to be a professional like art or have like a master's in art to be able to appreciate or hate a piece of theater or film. So you have to get used to that. The review I thought was really great though. Like the criticism gave us somewhere to grow. I mean if we got amazing wowing like it was the best performance ever on our very first show, it would have been in my opinion a little weird. Because we are new to this. Like we're not perfect. We know that. So it was really cool to see that he had nice things to say, that he had anything nice.
Well, I think we actually, impressed him. I think he went in with
lower
expectations just because no one knew who we were. And he was saying that, like, he he found himself very interested in the majority of it. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. there's parts that always could be worked on, but he, I think we impressed, like, we, his expectations weren't that high, and so we thought.
And it's sort of double-pronged for me, because on that same subject, I felt like he judged us on, in a higher spectrum, on a higher scale than he was expecting to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because instead of judging us as, like,
amateurs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he judged us as a professional company, which is where the criticisms came from. And I think the criticisms make it easier to take the compliments as truth, as opposed to, you know.
Yeah, it all being
just positive sunshine.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was fair, because he wasn't saying what he thought we wanted to hear or what the people wanted to hear. He was just like, he was just saying what he thought about the show, and that's all that anyone could ask him, really.
I mean, I feel like the way we're making it sound is that he had some huge criticisms. He said some minor things that went wrong, and it was majorly positive.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the only person that thought it. I'm sure there were
There's a lot of people who probably thought, like, I liked that show. In general, the feedback I got was people enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
It's a comedy. It was funny, from what I heard, but it wasn't perfect. There were parts that a few people were like, oh, maybe it was a little bit long here or there, whatever. On a whole, almost everyone I talked to came out of it being like, wow, I really liked it. It was funny.
The goal was to entertain people, and I think we did that.
We did it. That's what we did. Entertainment.
And, okay, what you said about having to take criticism in theater and in film and with art in general, that's just life. You're not going to please everyone. You're not ever going to, you know, get universal approval from the entire world. I'm just watching it with the fan too.
Cooper's just waving a fly sweat around his face. It's very hot in here, and I know we're talking about something really serious, and I agree. It's really, really warm here.
But just in life, you're not going to impress everyone, so you gotta take it when you can get it. And
roll the punches, man.
You can't really care about what people think. So,
well, then how do you grow? How do you grow without criticism? Why would we keep doing it if we're amazing and perfect?
Yeah.
And on that level, you do have to care, but you don't have to let it
continue.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But
let
like,
it improve you.
Yeah.
Use it.
See, not just theater guys. We give life advice.
What?
Cut.
Life.
Okay. So moving on.
So yeah, looking forward to the future. I guess that's where we're going right now, guys. Every day we're moving one step closer to the future.
Yeah. Can't wait for HoverBoard.
They have those now.
I know.
I saw this video.
It's going to be too late. It's 2015 now.
This company designed actual hoverboards, and they have a video of Christopher Lloyd doing a demo of these hoverboards, and he's like, he's just, I don't know what to say. Like, this is, it's become a reality.
He's also, like, really old.
You know? Be careful.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But actually, look it up. Near to YouTube. Internet.
As for Chimera moving into the future, our next project is taking the Brothers Grimm to the Victoria Fringe Festival, as we've been talking about. And I think we have maybe Coop wants to do it. We have a pretty exciting announcement about that.
We do have a very exciting announcement.
A lot of people probably already know, but this is the first time you put it in the public domain for everyone.
Yeah, everyone gets to hear. Casting announcement.
Woo!
We have recast two roles in the play. Are you guys ready? Can you get a drum roll?
No, we can't.
No, we don't want to spike the mic. Okay, we can't. Great. Okay, so the role of Jacob Grimm, which was originally played by myself, Andrew Cooper, is played by a motorcycle. So,
what's your name?
The role of Jacob Grimm, which was originally played by me, Andrew Cooper, is being taken on by Josh Sunderman, who we're super excited to work with because we all went to school with him and he's great.
Yeah, Josh!
Super excited.
Take your top off!
Whoa. And the role of Old Marie, who was originally played by Kathleen Dobson,
prior commitment, so unfortunately.
Yeah.
She isn't able to make it. They're very sad.
So we have recast her role with Melissa Thomas.
Yay!
Right.
Take your top off!
Wow.
who we're really excited to work with because she is so wonderful. Her and Josh both, we, most of us, have known for a really long time, and we're really excited that
they're going to bring a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. It's going to be really great.
I'm really excited about Josh in general just because he's also an alumni of Stage 1. So I feel like if we can make that progression happen.
Mm-hmm. He started in Kamloops Stage 1 as
Stage 1 WCT like theater school, for people who don't know.
Yeah, so he started there as a teenager, and then he went to university at Thompson Rivers University, and now he's stepping into Chimera, and then from there, like, he's so talented, we're hoping that he's going to move up into Project X, WCT, and then places outside of Kamloops. Really, really happy that he's just doing it. And we're happy to have him.
And for Melissa, this is probably a huge step down, actually.
We are kind of lower than her. She's a real professional. Let it be known, she has a master's degree.
And,
And she's trained in stage combat.
And she could beat the shiza out of...
If you're gonna curse anyway, just
don't. Just in a different language. Yeah.
She's fantastic. She
was the one who ran our stage combat.
Yeah, and the audition workshop. She gave us tips on how to audition.
She's my belly.
She's a co-artistic producer. Yeah, co-artistic producer of Project X Theater. She's directing one of the shows this year. She teaches at Stage 1.
She's a sessional professor at Thompson Rivers University.
Yeah, everything.
I'm saying all the important information.
The range.
She has such an impressive theater resume, and she's
we're going to ruin it for her.
She's a big part of the theater community in town. She's going to carry that. So we're very excited to have her.
We're excited to be working with both of them. I think they're, in their own way, without completely changing the show, they're really going to bring something new to their characters. Especially Josh, because Josh and you are vastly different.
Yeah. That's what I'm the most excited about, because we've already produced this show, taking it to Victoria, and just seeing how different it's going to be with two new cast members.
It's going to be a different direction is probably it's going to have.
Right, yeah, and of course we're going to have a different director, so it's probably going to be...
It's really and like it's one act show, so it's a little bit different.
Oh, and that, it's half the length. So,
squeezed down into one act rather than the full 2-hour production.
When we workshop the script, it's like, yay, climax. Now let's tell an epic story.
That's changed. So it's really cut down into a bite-sized act.
It's workable. It's definitely. Well, it was workable before. I thought it was enjoyable the first time, but
it'll be nice to have it.
Very different. Yeah. I'm just excited to show it to new people, people who don't know us and that can't have their opinion colored by that.
And to get another review, I'm hoping Victoria Fringe usually has their shows reviewed by the newspapers of Victoria. We can get a totally unbiased review of how amazing our show is.
And that really determines who sees our show with
those reviews. And when are the Victoria dates, by the way?
Oh, yeah, Victoria Fringe is August 27th to September 6th.
Mark it on your calendars.
We will see you all there, I hope. I mean our huge audience in Victoria who listens to our podcast.
Give us a shout out if you're going and we'll see you there.
So if you want more information about us, we're planning on releasing podcasts probably monthly, I think, to start. And there'll be more information, so hopefully more announcements about our next season on our next one. But you can find more information about us and what we do at our website, which is
www.chimeratheater.com.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I think we might be getting into Reddit.
Well, I don't know Reddit, but we are on YouTube.
We also are on YouTube. Channel.
And Tumblr. No one follows us on Tumblr but me, my personal blog. Not kidding.
But it's there. But I think we just have we done anything on Tumblr?
Well, what happens is the Instagram automatically links to Tumblr, so it's just a feed of all our Instagram photos.
And no one
which is amazing. So follow it.
Yeah.
People do use Tumblr. So
I love Tumblr. That's why I'm here.
That's why they are.
But yeah, there's definitely more to come from us. So thank you for listening. If you made it this far.
You've voted for me.
If you made
you're
it
probably sweating as much
thanks,
as we are.
Mom.
If you made it this far, can you please tell us? Because I would really appreciate to know if anyone actually listened
yeah,
to us.
Thank you.
We'll actually make a post about
you
on Facebook.
We will thank you on social media if you tell us that you got this far. We will.
The
okay.
secret word is
if you made it this
banana
far,
phone.
Banana phone.
Banana if you made phone. It this far, email banana phone to Brittany at chimeratheater.com.
Yeah, and stay tuned for the present.
It's gonna be a thing. Totally, take it off.
Pretty much everywhere. He's going.
But yes, if you hear banana phone, you will get a special shout out on Facebook.
And email it to Brittany at chimeratheater.com. That's Brittany, Brittany at chimeratheater.com.
Yep.
And thank you for listening. Really. We are excited that we made something like this. It's new for us, but we're hoping this becomes a thing.
Yeah.
We're going to keep
we're
making
excited.
This thing.
And keep. We're hoping to push the boundaries of what can be done, especially in canvas with art.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned. Prepare to be enchanted.
Ooh. Now, what was our what was our kick line that you said on Facebook, Nick?
Now remember, practice makes perfect, and Chimera makes podcast.
Boom! Spiking the audio at the end of that.
Put that on a t-shirt.
That's our tagline.
I think we actually should.
Yeah.
He's getting that look in his eyes. We should.
We need to get practice makes perfect and Chimera makes podcast.
All right.
Slogan.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Stay tuned. Goodbye.
Toodles.
Bye. Farewell, Kamloops and the world.
Hello.
Bye.
Done.